At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, Aaron here. If you've enjoyed our coverage of this season of Game of Thrones, please consider supporting us at club.baldmove.com. It's just a buck a month, and your support keeps us podcasting.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 5, Episode 10, titled Mother's Mercy. I really blasted through that intro because I am so eager to talk about this episode.
Me too.
What do you think of it as a season finale?
Man, I had so many complex emotions. Can we get some meta? Some meta bald move news out of the way first?
Let's start with it.
So before I go into this, I need to ask a few questions if it pleases the court. Have you heard any of our spoiler casts?
Zero.
And you don't also subscribe to the Game of Thrones email list the Bald Move gets. You're not on that list.
There's a list? No.
Yeah. So
if there's a list, I'm not on it.
Somebody asked me whether Benjen Stark could show up before the end of the season. This was back, I think, for the spoiler cast in episode 507. And this was my response on air.
I will say this, if Benjen Stark shows up in episode 10, I will take red lipstick and I will write the word dick on my forehead for the live video version of our main podcast. That's how confident I am that he is not going to show up. If Benjen Stark shows back up, I don't know what I
go on at length about my incredulous. Now.
Yeah.
So background, first of all, if you had to judge, I think you would be more inclined to come down on the side of me having to put the word dick on my forehead.
It would certainly be funny, yes.
Am I on the hook for this? Because here's the other thing, is that the previously on leaked about 2 days ago, and I've been getting a steady stream of emails like, get the red lipstick out, practice your backwards handwriting in the mirror.
Okay.
And I saw it, and then I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's a fake. Maybe they've just, you know.
Were you worried? Were you like... Well, they're talking about Benjen. This is bad news.
When the actual episode started and that was the real previously on, I was sweating like Cersei in the Great Sept of Baelor. Yeah, I was. But then we get to the end. I feel like I'm not on the hook for this. He did not show up in this episode. He was used as a ruse.
I agree. He did not. He was not in this episode, period.
End of story.
He was not in the episode. Sorry.
Thank you.
As funny as it would be. And as much as I think you need dick written on your forehead, he was not in the episode. I swear,
because like I learned the last time, because remember I said that if so-and-so, I forget what the exact bet was for Walking Dead, I would drink a whole fifth of whiskey
or
Southern Comfort on the air. No, I got out. Like it was almost, but I didn't have to do it. And thank God for my liver. So I scaled it down. I almost said I was going to eat that fucking scorpion.
Oh.
And then I downshifted in confidence, like, no. I can't do that. So I think I'm off the hook.
I think so, too.
Now, having said that,
yeah,
I thought this was a really good episode, and I thought that it brought me around on a lot of plots that I was kind of on a lot of the year, with the exception of Dorne, because Dorne still is shit and is terrible.
Yeah, I'm curious about Dorne. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Dorne, if they don't turn that fucking ship around, they are 100 yards from the person who just murdered his daughter. If he doesn't command them to turn that ship around, I'm going to be so pissed.
And then what?
I mean, start a murdering spree. Take Bronn, go into the palace and start murdering people.
Just throw Bronn like Sonic the Hedgehog into a bunch
the
of
Tasmanian
mecha
devil. Just have him spin with the sword.
All right.
Right? I mean, they've got to go deal with this. They can't just sail all the way back to King's Landing and then
with
say,
Marcella's corpse.
Well, she died 6-7 days ago.
But we got the prince. I mean, here's the thing.
You got to do something.
So how smart is Jaime? Because I mean, it looks bad. I mean, it looks bad for Tristane, man. Mm-hmm. The reason I say Doran sucks so bad is because this just shows. It just makes Doran look like a fool, man. Really does, because he's and the Sand Snakes are still terrible.
The interesting part about that, I think, is that Doran may not understand what went on here, and he may never find out.
Well,
until it's too late.
He's not stupid. I mean,
but what I'm saying is, like, if Jamie goes back and he says, "Okay, let's play this cool.
Uh-huh.
We've got a hostage here. Uh-huh. We can do something with this." He may never know that his plan went wrong until his son is in serious trouble.
All I needed for Doran to be redeemed, and they could keep doing the stupid thing. I actually thought the moment between Jamie and Marcella was really nice. And I'm thinking, like, man, how can I see this happening from a book perspective? Because it just seems like this is a potentially relationship. It just blows the whole Lannister dynamic wide open.
Yeah.
And then her nose started bleeding. I'm like, God damn it. God, they almost did something interesting with this. And God damn it.
Did you know that was coming?
No. Hell no.
No? Okay.
All I needed was for Doran to stand up and articulate a plan. As a
show watcher.
He's not
going to stand up. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Oh my God. You're right. You're right. He's a Roosevelt type.
But continue. Sorry.
All I needed was for him to articulate a goddamn plan. That's all book reader and show watcher of me wants to know is what the fuck is your plan, asshole?
Who does he have
you
to confide
cool.
in, though? Right? Like, does he trust, what's her name? Alara and Inara? What is her name?
Alaria, yeah.
Alaria, enough to confide in her? No. Who's
his X-Man? Aerio, Hota.
Really? That guy's not going to give a shit.
He can just monologue to that guy. Yeah, exactly. He can just monologue something. No, seriously, this Doran stuff is a fucking fiasco.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It spanned the whole season. It took Jamie. I'm speechless about this, but I don't want to harp on that because everything else was really pretty good.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And almost everything else, yeah.
Like, I thought the Arya stuff paid off. I mean, you know, it's like been a rough year for violence against women in Game of Thrones. And this was a, like, pinnacle in some ways episode, but it's
so confusing though, right? Like, I don't understand anything, and maybe I'm not supposed to. Maybe that's the point, is that the Faceless Men are so confusing that Arya doesn't understand it. Probably Jaqen barely understands it.
Right.
Like, I certainly don't.
It's a cargo cult type of thing. Because that's another thing, is like a Double D remix that essentially all happens, but the way they presented the order of things, I think, makes it a lot more confusing, and I'm not sure if that's intentional. And that's the thing, like, now that I've seen how this Stannis thing worked out, because I want to go to that next,
okay,
I'm kind of wanting to tone down the criticism until I see the full playbook, because I felt like the Stannis thing was really satisfying.
Yeah, I'm glad that Brienne got to kill him.
That was a little too convenient, all the timing, and, you know, of course I have a little issue with that, but no, Stannis, the whole fact that it looked like the Red God had come through, and then Melisandre got called on her bullshit,
and she bails,
and
I was so angry.
Selyse hung herself, like, it was just everything turned to ash in his mouth, and that's exactly what should happen after you burn your daughter, Stannis.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and it felt like maybe they needed that last episode for Stannis for us to really go, all right, Brienne, go in there and kill him.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see.
Because it took something that, like, if he didn't burn Shireen, and I can't even fucking believe I'm coming around on this. I really can't.
I know.
If he didn't burn Shireen and he marches into the Boltons and gets just torn up, I don't know, as fans, we could stand it.
Yeah.
But somehow they fucking judo flipped that around to where that's almost a moment of triumph.
Yep.
And then the fact that Sansa and Theon do the cliffhanger business.
What the fuck? They just jumped off the wall? They just jumped off the wall to their deaths. to their inevitable deaths.
That's essentially what happens.
I mean, even if that's a moat.
That's essentially what happens in the books, and that's essentially where we're left. Yeah. Except for it's not Sansa. So it's like, that's the other thing. Like, this is...
Well, okay, I don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah, me either.
I have no idea.
But I thought it was really cool. You know, she didn't gore Ramsay in the nutsack. She picked the lock. She lit a candle.
Yeah.
And ultimately, her savior. And just felt so fucking Game of Thrones. Yeah. Brienne.
The timing of everything just worked out.
A personal moment of vengeance betrayed her duty.
Yep.
And that's all it took. And then Sansa decided whether live or die. I mean, her throwing Miranda off that fucking ledge and then jumping. I think that's why it works so well. Like, I don't know whether they live or die.
Okay.
But just chucking Miranda off and watch her just tomato can. And then they do the same thing on the other side of the wall. The implication's pretty clear.
And they're clearly going to land on their backs. Like, what can possibly come of that? They can't just have them both plummet to their deaths next episode. Like, come back season 6, episode 1, boom, first scene, they're both dead.
Would that...
That would be ridiculous.
If they're dead, I gotta say, that is kind of a really great moment of agency for both Theon and Sansa. Like Sansa said, if I'm not going to get out of this, I'd rather end it on my own terms with me still intact. I think... Theon snapped back a little bit, so if they die, that's kind of a romantic, and not in like a sexual that kind of, but like, you know, Anne of Green Gables sense of the word. It's very romantic their end, if that's what it is.
Sure, maybe they're gonna like the wall kind of looked curved at one angle. Like, I don't know if they're gonna Mission Impossible their way down it or something. Like, I don't know, man. They seem to be just plummeting to their deaths. Whatever. I mean, we could talk about Jon Snow, or we could talk about Cersei. One of the two, because I really want to talk about them.
Okay, let's talk about Cersei. Let's leave the cliffhanger. One of the many cliffhangers.
Okay.
The other thing I really liked about this episode is it seemed to work as just a massive cliffhangers.
Oh yeah.
Like we went for broke. We gave you like 6 different cliffhangers that you have to deal with. Don't forget, we got to talk about Dany too.
Yeah, and Tyrion.
Which I thought that was stuff. All pretty fucking awesome, too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, what'd you say? Cersei.
You know, they play with you a little bit in these scenes, right? Like, they've pitted two bad guys against each other. I hate the fucking Sparrows. I hate Cersei. Which do I hate more?
I know.
In any given moment, it could be different.
It's a Stan. You know? It's another Stannis Bolton situation.
It is. It really is. And so, like, when Cersei does this walk of shame, which puts all other walks of shame to shame.
Sure.
Like, this is the ultimate one.
Sure.
I feel slightly bad for her.
No.
And I know that as soon as she gets to the Red Keep, this is the biggest mistake the High Septon ever made. As soon as she gets to the Red Keep, she's going to turn around and murder all of these people. And now she's got the Mountain to do it. That was fucking epic. The Mountain in his golden armor was awesome. That is everything I wanted to see in the finale.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was a little under... It's just like the Saruman the Dingy from last season.
Really? Like, Frankenstein, except...
It's a little too Frankenstein.
A bigger, beefier, meaner version of Frankenstein, and put him in fucking armor with a sword.
Yeah, no, that's literally what it looks like. That's literally what it looks like, and I guess I was hoping for something. I mean...
That's what I wanted.
You're right. Robert the Strong in the books, I think that's his name. I'm sure if they mentioned the episode, I don't give a shit. That's not it's the dude's name. He goes by Robert Strong in the books. Is the Mountain in the fucking full armor with visor. But seeing the eyes somehow, did the makeup job on that was a little too bug-eyed and piggy and a little too wheezy.
A little too dead-looking.
Yeah, like, what's everybody else in the Red Keep thinking?
I love it, man. Like, you take that helmet off and everybody freaks the fuck out and tries to kill him because he's an abomination. But you put the helmet on him and they're just like, this guy's scary. Yeah. I don't want to interact with him.
I wish it was a little bit, I don't know. There's something a little bit obvious about it that I wish they could have done with, like, you know, I don't know, some kind of ring wraith deal where his helmet's more like black. You can't see into it. It's scarier that way than seeing a dude with, like, you know, bruising purplish morbidity makeup on it.
It makes you really wonder, like, what's the full picture look like under that helmet?
I get that. To me, but like I said, clearly personal taste.
Yeah.
But I got to awesome. The other thing is, I think Cersei is an overly ambitious average intelligence person that thinks she's a Machiavellian genius.
Sure.
But I do respect her for the way she dealt with that whole situation.
She knew it was her only way out.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's it. She's got to go through this. She'll get past it, and then she'll have her revenge, I guess.
I guess. Now, what I think is interesting is, will she actually get her revenge? Because
it's Game of Thrones.
It's Game of Thrones. And she's also, all those things I said about her being overambitious, average intelligence, not that. Yeah. And we got the White Walkers. We got Dany on dragons now. We got Dorne, which is going to be some kind of continual shitstorm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that she has to worry about other than petty revenge. So, like, can she get revenge, and will it be a Pyrrhic victory? That's probably what's going to happen.
Okay. I hope so. What about Dany? I'm going to talk briefly about Dany, because I think this ring dropping business is bullshit.
I was surprised.
100% complete bullshit.
Yeah.
No one is going to... They're going... Archaeologists, 2,000 years from now, are going to find that fucking ring.
No, man.
And go, where did this come from?
No, no. It's going to be Dario Aragorn.
Come on, come up. Man.
Not idly do the leaves of Lothlorien's rings fall, and he's going to storm off with his dwarf and elf companion, yeah. And they'll hunt her down.
There's like some ring radar they've got.
And Treebeard will come out cradling her, and... he'll be taking Drogon out for a walk. It's going to be awesome.
It's complete bullshit, right?
I honestly don't know. I have no fucking clue, because that exactly happens in the books, except for she drops the ring in the show. So that's an additional piece of information I don't have. And I have that. I'm like, what the fuck? Because I'm like you. If Dario finds that.
Yeah.
It's
the finding literal needle in the haystack.
Finding
yes.
a needle in a haystack is actually solvable, because presumably... there's just a finite haystack.
A confined area which you need to search.
Use a magnet, set it on fire, whatever, but...
I don't get it, man. They can't possibly hope that that's going to come back.
I don't know.
I watched the inside the episode thing, and it makes it sound like they dropped that ring on purpose so someone will find it.
Honestly, if that is something that they use to like goose through 6 chapters of, you know... whatever. Mm-hmm. If that's the only piece of bullshit I have to swallow to get Dany back to Tyrion and the action and you know, but the important thing is, this is Khal Drogo's old Khalasar.
Yeah,
that they wrote off, that his blood riders, whatever, wrote off and abandoned her. What is she going to do now? Like, I, you know, she's got the dragon there within hailing frequency distance, I guess.
Sure, but...
she could do an Aquaman deal.
I mean, they were all friendly when Khal Drogo was around.
Oh, they're not at all friendly. No, they did not part on good terms.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're friendly anymore, so... I don't know.
He left her the old and sick and kind of like, you know, also ran Dothraki, and everybody else took off with him, so...
All right, that's so long ago, I don't even remember, but...
Sure.
Yeah.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of King's Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV+, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
But yeah, I love... Also, Gavaris and, yes. and Tyrion getting the Bald yep. and Jane surprise renewal after it's been...
It's glorious. And now, like, Tyrion is king of Meereen, at least temporarily.
Acting king.
Speaking through, what's her name?
Missandei and yeah. the Grey Worm.
Yeah, speaking through her. And he's got Varys by his side.
That was glorious.
Be his eyes and ears and advisor. Like, not that Tyrion really needs an advisor.
He needs a spymaster, though.
But he does need a spymaster, yeah. Like, if anybody's going to tame the Sons of the Harpy...
Oh, yeah.
Varys.
Varys and Tyrion together.
Yeah.
And they have a face that they can use. Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting. I really like how that ended up shaking out.
Do you think Jorah's ever coming back? He's got this grayscale. I don't know that he makes it back to Meereen. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, having him have grayscale is very interesting because it puts him on a clock.
Yeah.
And
you think so anyway, like I,
but again, we're way past, I mean, that part, like we're quite a bit past the book. So, but I gotta say, yeah, I mean, it seems like they do that to give him, he's going to be meant to give some kind of noble sacrifice. But as Tyrion said, neither one of those are two proper yeah. consorts for the queen. And honestly, the other thing is like getting rid of Barristan. I feel the situation, like the Jorah and Dario roadshow, which I am with child to see more of, mm-hmm. I feel like that's much more interesting than if Barristan was also kind of, you know, cock-blocking him riding in between and now. You know, it's like I kind of want to see him go at it.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they were just reduced to bickering within minutes of Danny's
I would totally buy Dario just killing him as soon as they get outside as, you know... Your queen, he took a spill off the cliff, damnedest thing, he's bravest yeah. man I've ever met. You know, it's like, that's totally in Dario's character.
Yeah.
It's not so. In Jorah's character to do that.
Yeah, they'll sell swords.
Yeah.
Not worth their weight in gold.
Yeah.
Or well, whatever.
So, yeah, I like that.
There's one other thing to talk about.
Is there? What
John
about
Snow.
We didn't talk about Arya. You just want to leave it as a confusing mess and we'll talk about it on the
yeah,
podcast?
Yeah, I'm totally confused. I need to watch that again before okay. All right. I can come up with any opinion on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Because I liked it, but a lot of the stuff, like the same thing with John, we're going to talk to him. This whole sending him Sam off to the Citadel, I feel like that's another thing that suffers from the timing. Like, John says, man, dude, I just saw this dude resurrect like 50, 60,000 wildling is the biggest damn army in the world. I'm scared shitless. You should send me away to be a maester. I'll be a good advisor in like 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I take 16 credit hours a semester, I could have my chains forged. And I mean, come on.
What service is he going to be?
Yeah.
At and that point, yeah.
They do play it off like it's more a little bit more like selfish that I just need to,
oh,
get,
yeah.
I need to get my girl out of the town mm-hmm. and get us away from here. And I'm not really going to be useful for you in the combat situation. And
that's the thing. Like, I never believed that Sam could put yeah. up a fight against the White Walkers. He's better off like send him down there on some Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Hope he comes up with some information in time to help. Somebody
yeah
but yeah I think you know the timing for him was perfect.
Yeah,
John comes back, he gets out of there right before the traitor thing happens, John's killed, and he certainly would have been killed too.
Yeah, and I think that John, the way Kit Harington played that, was kind of fatalistic. Like, yeah, this isn't a great plan, Sam, but also I kind of see your point and whatever, good on you for getting wet, pounding, you know, getting
yeah
pounded out.
You know, they've become buddies over the years, so yeah, like yeah. he's also doing him a favor.
Sure. And this also is kind of it works better because it was an echo of Sam's kind of like, so how was it when he found out he had sex with Ygritte? Yeah, yeah. So there was a little bit of that, which was, I thought, kind of sweet.
Sure.
What did you think about John getting For the Watched?
It was, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not heartbroken. I'm not the biggest John fan in the world. I think
he brought it around the season. You got to give it that.
He did, yeah. I mean, I totally didn't care about him a couple of seasons ago, and since he's gone to the wall, and he's put up with so much shit, and he's become this really strong, character with his heart in the right place, his head in the right place. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot more sympathy for him, but like, I'm just not the biggest John lover in the world.
Yeah.
So seeing him killed doesn't get me all weepy, like I'm sure 1,000% of the audience was. But at the same time, it's a really good scene. It's like, yeah, this is the end of a character who's beloved to most of the audience.
Right.
And the way in which it happens is both, you know, cringeworthy and like that got you fucking bastards sort of way. But it's totally understandable, too.
What happens at the wall now?
Sam's gone. Alistair's gonna take over. John's gone. Or Ollie might take over. We might have a Rufio situation here. It's going to be a bangarang at the wall.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Alistair takes over. Why does he let the wildlings through only to then kill John? Why not just say, no, not going to let you guys in, starve and freeze north of the wall?
Don't know. Not sure why they all...
Just didn't want to fight? Wanted to be a little more stealthy? But he let the wildlings through. Like, there's... What, 10,000 wildlings roaming around the north now?
5 to 10, yeah. You think that there's going to be a scene of them just like ranging and butchering them all in their sleep or something? It's going to be a
how are they
going to
do that with 100 black brothers?
Look at what Ramsay did with 20 good men.
Oh, that's true.
100 horse rapists and thieves, you know.
Indeed, yeah.
They're not good men. They're not particularly, you know, they're just...
Not at all.
I don't know, maybe that's a bad... You need bad men for a job like that. Yeah. What do you think of so Davos and Melisandre's the other two POV characters we got?
Yeah,
up at the wall too.
I was hoping Davos would find out what happened and just put a knife in her.
Are you kind of surprised that he? I guess he's like too grief stricken, and you can, if you know, it's like nobody at the wall, I don't think, has any particular love for her.
And he doesn't know what happened, right? He doesn't know that she made Stannis burn.
Yeah, she could have just been the last survivor of a brutal defeat.
Like, what she should have done is stopped along the way and like written one of those notes that said like, Stannis sent me north to tell you that the battle's gone badly, stay at the wall or something like that. Like last minute sort of fake out thing. But I don't know. I hate Melisandre even more for realizing, oh, this has gone horribly wrong. My powers are complete bullshit and I'm going to peace out.
Her powers aren't complete bullshit though.
They were in this case.
Yeah,
this did not fucking work.
So what? That's the really interesting thing about her.
What can she do?
Because it's not like
take her clothes off. I guess she can do that.
It's not like she can do nothing. And also, do you think she was a true believer? Do you think she was just as shocked as anyone that didn't work out?
That's a good question.
Because I think that's interesting. In the same way, like, you know, the leftovers. Where it's like, do you have a guy who is full of shit and he knows it? Do you have a guy who's full of shit and honestly believes in it? Because that's...
If I had to guess, I'd say, yeah, she believed it.
So if she believed it, why did she then abandon Stannis when half his men left and his wife hung herself?
Because she didn't believe it that much.
Like, that's the
all
key
of
thing.
The odds were stacked against her. And yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's a charlatan. I'm not sure.
She played it like she's a true believer, but she hustled through the wall like there's another agenda there.
Yeah. I don't know. I just hope she gets killed very soon.
Okay.
Very soon.
All right. Sure.
I'll have to wait for a year to see it, but.
Yeah. It's the finale. Goddamn. Sick.
Yeah.
I think that. So Arya, let's see if we can get all those cliffhangers. What's Jaime doing with his dead niece child?
He's turning that boat around.
All right. There's one cliffhanger. Arya got blinded.
Yep.
By the light.
Mm-hmm.
By the multiple confusing auto-erotic suicides.
Yeah.
What else? Sansa took a leap of faith.
Uh-huh.
That's cliffhanger slash whatever. What else? What else?
Tyrion and Varys are running the city.
And Dany's surrounded by Dothraki and Drogon's being a shitty teenager dragon.
Mm-hmm.
That's four.
I don't know if I would call the Tyrion thing.
Sam going off to the Citadel?
Nah. Not. I mean, what are you? Are you really greatly anticipating? Like, what's he gonna do with the Citadel? No, he's gonna go south and he's gonna learn some shit. We kind of know, you know.
Same
with Tyrion and Varys. We know that they're gonna try and run Meereen.
But what I'm saying is, yes, I'm interested in that because that's probably going to. I mean, and the show's kind of been ham-fisted in the way they suggested that Sam's learning seems like it's going to be key to winning this war. Keep reading, Sam. You got found out the dragon. What else are you going to find out?
I wonder if he will discover how to forge Valyrian steel.
Or something like that. I mean, because he's going to essentially the Library of Alexandria of his time.
Yeah.
It's like the vast repository of all human knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we've seen in previous seasons that the Meisters are kind of like magic schmagic. They stopped studying it a long time ago.
Huh.
But yet we know in this day and age that magic is becoming... So you wonder, like... Is there like a forbidden section of the library, Harry Potter style, where he's got to go and get a special card? And I think that's going to be key. So I'm interested because I'm a big lore whore, and my main source of lore whoring is probably going to be Sam and the Citadel in the upcoming years.
It's going to be just as interesting as Ewan McGregor in the library on Coruscant.
The Jedi Arc. Fuck you, man. That's a low blow.
All right, I think that's about it. We got
a whole other podcast to talk about.
Another 2 hours of this stuff, so we'll be back on Tuesday, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will be back on Tuesday.
All right, if they want to send in their feedback for that cast, how do they do
GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. I can feel my email account melting right now.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, Facebook and all that stuff.
You can go on Twitter on @BaldMove and Facebook and forums too, because it's a great place to talk spoilers. And I'm sure, you know, this is an interesting thing is like, I'm pretty sure you guys are all caught up now. You are
completely,
we're either in beyond the books or caught up with every major plot point. So I'm starting to think, if When's the Winter doesn't come out next year, I'm thinking about folding you in to the speculation part.
Okay.
Because there's like, you know, the details and things like that and hints that you might get that the book, but nothing.
Here's a better question. Should I start reading the books?
You won't.
No. Not the back catalog. Fuck the back catalog. Okay. Like, if he releases a new one, start reading from there.
You'd be very confused about where Jamie is and like Sand. There's a lot of remixing, but people ask me all the time, like Walking Dead, can I start reading where to? And I'm like, yeah, you'll be confused for a couple issues and then you'll start rolling with it. So, you know,
but would that be good for the podcast? I don't know.
I probably not. And it's going to drive book people crazy because like literally that is asked in some of the forums and stuff like on a weekly basis. And like, 99-1, everybody's like, just read the fucking books, okay? Read the fucking books.
Read all of them?
Read them all.
All 12,000 pages? All.
Choke on it. Choke on those words.
Yeah, that's a real easy thing to say when you've already read them.
We got the Audible stuff. We just have Roy Deutscher read you to sleep every night.
Silky, sultry voice. All right, that's it.
Think of all the fat pink masks you've yet to discover.
That's true. That's true. I'm curious how he describes Cersei's walk, but we'll find out.
Non-sexually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Although, knowing human sexuality like I do, pretty sure there's men and women turned on by that scene.
There was nothing sexy about that scene.
You know, keep it...
Like, if you had told me that we were going to see Lena Headey fully nude, full frontal nudity,
and you would not be aroused at all?
I would have said, you're crazy.
I bet there's a dozen threads on FetLife. Right now, talk about reenacting that scene. And you know what, kids? Keep it safe. Keep it consensual. Have yourself a good time.
Wow. And with that, we'll see you on Tuesday. Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you then.
Bye-bye. Hey, guys. It's Aaron again. Just want to make another pitch for club.baldmove.com. Your direct support is literally the only reason that we can continue doing our podcasting full time. And that's the only reason we're able to give Game of Thrones the breadth and depth of coverage that it deserves, as well as a lot of our other podcasts. Game of Thrones, we've got Fargo coming up, we got True Detective starting off next week, we got The Leftovers,
the new season of Walking Dead, the new Walking Dead spinoff. We got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pike that's going to be entertaining. And we also get a lot of stuff for going to club.baldmove.com. You get live video feeds of all of our podcasts. It's the quickest way to get all the content. You get ad-free podcasts. You don't have to listen to me say all this bullshit again. And we're going to do a lot of special video features. For example, we're going to be doing a playthrough of the Game of Thrones digital video game by, what's
Telltale.
The name? Telltale Games. Yep. We're going to be playing through that, and it's going to be for club members only.
We're going to be playing the evil version of whatever character they give you.
I know, we're going to have a discussion about that, because if we actually played the first two seasons, there's over, what, 20 hours of us playing the Walking Dead version of that. That's free. You can go out to our youtube.com/baldmove and check all those that playlist out and listen to all of it, and if that looks like something you'd be in for, then join us for the Game of Thrones. And it really, you can sign up for a single month. It costs you $2 for quite a few hours of content. I think it's a good deal. We try to make it really fan friendly, and it's a great way to support us and to get extra bonus content from us too. So again, if you've enjoyed this, please consider going to club.baldmove.com and see all the benefits and help support our independent podcasts.